The next case we have is 2014-843, Lowe's Home Centers, Inc. versus Washington County Board of Revision. And we'll get set up for that. Mr. Gibbs.
Thank you, Master Commissioner. Ryan Gibbs for Lowe's Home Centers, case number 2014-0843. I want to thank you for the time afforded to me to speak with you this morning. We urge remand in this matter for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that the BTA decision in this matter was arbitrary and capricious, as set forth in our error number 5. But because the arbitrary and capricious nature of the decision effectively denied my client's right to have its valuation reviewed properly under the clear and unambiguous language of 5713.03, and this denied them due process. What makes the Lowe's decision arbitrary and capricious? A comparison of it to the decision that was just argued previously, issued the very same day on a property in the very same county involving all the same issues. This is the Rite Aid decision. As I know you'll understand, we believe the BTA got it right in Rite Aid for two reasons. The first is that the BTA focused on the fact that the subject property, which Ms. Gorey identified the Rite Aid to be a mini box, Lowe's, my client's property certainly is a box store. The first is that the BTA identified correctly the market as being rural Marietta. This is in, as Mr. Swaim identified earlier, the southeast quadrant of Ohio. It's an Appalachian rural area. The second is that the BTA got it correctly in Rite Aid when they stated that leased fee data is not required. And I just want to read from the footnote. On page 3 of the Rite Aid decision, Mr. Hatcher testified that he did not use any leased fee sales as comparables as he felt they were not appropriate in a fee simple appraisal analysis. A careful reading of the testimony and the transcript from the Lowe's trial, the BTA, will make it clear that Ms. Costello, the appraiser for Lowe's, testified to the exact same thing. She felt it was not necessary to examine leased fee data when there was an ample supply of fee simple sales and lease data available, and the standard is fee simple. Now, the Meyer decision has been misapplied and mischaracterized throughout the state, and Washington County appellees in this matter continue to do so. In our reading of Meyer, we believe that Mr. Ray, working for Fred Siegel's office at that time, took the position that the inclusion of leased fee data, such as leased fee sales and long-term lease rates that date from, you know, years and years before the assessment date within an appraisal constitute or justify giving that appraisal no weight because it would therefore be not probative and credible. That was Mr. Ray's argument at the Supreme Court, essentially, to try and get Mr. Kuhn's appraisal thrown out in the Meyer case. What the Meyer decision said, essentially, and nothing more in our opinion, is that the mere presence of leased fee data within an appraisal does not in and of itself render the appraisal not probative and credible. I don't believe it goes any further than that. And I believe that the BTA, in getting it right in Rite Aid, recognized this. They accepted Mr. Hatcher's explanation that you need not look at leased fee sales when you have fee simple sales, and the standard is fee simple. Whatever the meaning of fee simple is in the appraisal industry and from the Ohio court system, you need not look to leased fee data when the standard is fee simple. In its decision in Lowe's, the BTA was highly critical of Ms. Costello not utilizing leased fee data. This Lowe's decision was issued the same day as the Rite Aid decision, and yet the decisions essentially are mirror images of one another. Both appraisers testified for the taxpayer that they did not feel it was appropriate to use lease fee data. Both counsel criticized Ms. Blosser's use of sales and lease comps from Cleveland and Canton and Dayton, Ohio, as being from big markets, not from markets like Marietta. And yet, in the Lowe's case, there was no discussion of that from the BTA. In the Lowe's case, there was criticism of Ms. Costello's unwillingness to use leased fee data. In the Rite Aid case, there was heavy criticism in the footnotes of Ms. Blosser's use of comps. And to quote, from major cities such as Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati. Yet, although present in the Lowe's appraisal that Ms. Blosser did, there was no criticism of that. Again, I would just emphasize the fact that a close reading of Meyer does not contain any language requiring appraisers to consider leased fee data in a fee simple appraisal assignment. In its decision in the Lowe's matter, the BTA said, quote, the use of mostly fee simple sales means that, quote, Costello has not properly analyzed the market. While in deciding the Rite Aid decision, they acknowledged that Mr. Hatcher testified the same, and yet they ruled in favor of Mr. Hatcher. We believe that this is what is meant by arbitrary and capricious, and also that the determination of the board in Lowe's is against the manifest weight of the evidence. As we assign an error 6. As with the Rite Aid argument that was made earlier, Ms. Blosser relied heavily, and she admitted this under cross-examination, on interviews that she conducted with brokers in the local market. During the cross-examination, it became clear that the majority of those interviews with participants in the market were actually conducted by an unlicensed assistant, not Ms. Blosser herself. And it also came out, and this is in the transcript from the BTA on pages 108 to 114, that the following persons that she claimed to have interviewed, Bresnahan had no real estate license of any kind. Michalak, real estate license was suspended since 2005. Beckstead, no real estate license of any kind. And Mr. Geyer had only residential listings in the Athens area, ranging in price between $40,000 and $150,000. And so these were the market participants that were interviewed by someone in Ms. Blosser's office, allegedly, and which played a part in the selection of her rental rate. And at trial, they were all proven to be unlicensed persons that really no weight should be given to that. And so again, when the decision came out in favor of Ms. Blosser's appraisal report, we believe that decision was against the manifest weight of the evidence. In summary, Meyer does not require the use of leased fee sales to determine fee simple value, regardless of what boards of education and counties are saying all over the state. Meyer was a very limited decision. It very simply said the mere presence of leased fee data does not render an appraisal report not probative or credible. Rite Aid again makes this clear. But this false standard, a false standard coming from Myers, perhaps because it's being repeated so often, was applied and imposed upon Lowe's in the decision that was issued, the false standard from Meyer. A remand is required with instructions to render a decision that does not penalize Lowe's for employing fee simple comparable data to determine fee simple value as required by statute, and that affords Lowe's due process and the equal protection it clearly was not given in light of the Rite Aid decision. And I would just add that a tribunal that's not consistent with the justice it doles out cannot deliver due process.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbs.
Thank you.
Ms. Gorey.
Thank you very much. There is no doubt that there are inherent inconsistencies between the Rite Aid decision and the Lowe's decision. But this case, I think, is actually a more clear case. There's absolutely no reason why Meyer should not apply. The appraisals that were presented here are virtually identical to the appraisals that were presented there. Ms. Flosser followed the identical methodology that was filed, followed by the Board of Education's appraiser in Meyer, which was the blended approach of using both first generation and second generation data. The argument was made in the brief that Ms. Flosser should have adjusted her leased fee sales downward because a property with a lease can't be fee simple. And as I noted in Rite Aid, that argument has been rejected perhaps 10 times by this court. When a property sells subject to an encumbrance, a sale is not adjusted to reflect any economic effect of that encumbrance, whether the rent is below market or above market. Ms. Blosser did essentially exactly what Sam Kuhn did, which was to look at both first generation and second generation data. And just as she did in the Rite Aid case, a comment was also made about locational differences here. We had Ms. Blosser testify that the location of this Lowe's is actually a regional hub for all around the surrounding area, including West Virginia, and that this property had far higher traffic counts than would be expected in a more rural area. And so just as she did in Rite Aid, she adjusted for median area gross income, the traffic count in front of each comparable, and then also the population in front of each comparable. And the BTA correctly found that any perceived locational differences were adequately accounted for, and Ms. Blosser made the appropriate adjustments. And since you do not need to adjust a leased fee sale, Ms. Blosser wasn't required to make any downward adjustment to a lease fee sale simply because the property sold with a lease.
Is it your reading of the BTA decision in this case that the BTA rejected the Lowe's approach?
Correct.
Because of Meyer.
Correct.
Type principles.
Yes. My reading of the BTA case is that because Ms. Costello deliberately excluded consideration of all first generation data, which is shown to be prevalent in this market, when the first generation user is still occupying this property, it sells with a lease.
And it's your contention that that is correct.
That's
for
correct.
Them to do that.
Yes.
And that's precisely the principle that in the first case you advocate.
Correct.
To overturn the BTA's decision.
Yes, exactly. We're advocating for consistency. Well, and I know that essentially we're not advocating for consistency because this court has repeatedly held that the BTA does not have to act consistently. But it is it's an interesting application of Meyer in both cases that is totally inherently inconsistent. But the difference is here that this court has already held that this is how you value a traditional big box store. As Lowe's acknowledged, it is a traditional big box store. It was built by Lowe's. It was still occupied by Lowe's as of the applicable lien date. In the county appellee's mind, there's no doubt that Meyer applies. And I don't I don't think that Lowe's is even suggesting that Meyer doesn't apply. The exact same basis for rejecting all first generation data was cited by Ms. Costello in this case, that because she believes that the appraisal definitions of fee simple and leased fee apply, because Ohio law requires the valuation of the fee simple, she could not include consideration of any property that had a lease at the time of the sale. And that's clearly what Meyer rejects, and it's been rejected in all of the sale cases, Cummins, Rhodes, AEI, that you don't adjust a sale because it contains either an above market or below market lease. The point about Ms. Glosser's registered appraisal assistant, I think I discussed this fairly clearly in my brief on direct examination of Ms. Glosser. I asked her if that was a license granted by the Ohio Real Estate Department. Yes, it is. It's a license where a person is in the process of obtaining appraisal certification, but has not yet obtained it. I specifically asked Ms. Glosser if all of her assistant's duties in preparing this appraisal and assisting in the preparation of the appraisal were within the scope of her license. She indicated yes, they are. And also, she was directly supervising and controlling the registered appraiser assistant at all times during her work on this appraisal.
Let me ask you a question. If the court were to reject, hypothetically, your assertion in the Rite Aid case that Meyer articulates a proposition of law that would require reversal in that case, is there an argument that you have in this case that nonetheless the decision of the BTA should be affirmed?
Absolutely. I think there's, to me, there's no doubt that the court's decision in Meyer applies to this case. It is a big box. The exact type of obsolescence that Mr. Worms argued in Meyer upon vacation of the first generation tenant is exactly what Ms. Costello was arguing in this case. And similarly, Ms. Glosser testified that the second generation rents will never reflect what Lowe's itself would be willing to lease this property for. And there's data in her report that reveals that Lowe's does in fact lease property. It is not always the owner-occupant. It leases and builds. I think the main distinction is that the court has not yet directly held that Meyer applies to what I would call a mini big box. Of course, the county's suggestion is that it does so apply for all the reasons I talked about, obviously, in my argument for Rite Aid. But
let me flesh out my question. If you agree that the BTA rejected Lowe's evidence based on an understanding of Meyer, and that understanding of Meyer is the understanding that you're advancing in the Rite Aid appeal, and if the court were to reject that, doesn't that mean that the court would have to reverse in this case?
I don't think so, because there are there were differences between the Rite Aid report, and this may have been one of the reasons why the BTA went the way that it did, but it certainly didn't state so. Mr. Hatcher did include some rental data from a few Rite Aid stores in West Virginia. So there was not a total 100% omission of all first generation data. He just testified that he didn't rely upon it. Ms. Costello testified several times before the BTA in this case that she deliberately excluded from any of her searches what a first generation tenant would be willing to rent the property for, or what it would sell for in its first generation use. And that's exactly what Meyer forbids. There's no basis to distinguish Meyer in this instance. And then one final comment on the location. Just as I noted before, while Ms. Blosser did use some sales in larger areas, she made the exact same locational adjustments, which were the population, traffic count, and area median income. And the BTA properly held that those adjustments were sufficient to account for any locational differences. And in sum, we believe the BTA's decision was reasonable and lawful. Meyer applies. There's no basis for distinguishing Meyer. And an appraiser, when valuing a first-generation big box store, need not adjust any leased fee sales to remove any effect of an alleged above-market lease. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Gorey. Mr. Gibbs, you've reserved 5 minutes and 62 seconds would be 6 minutes. What? 5:52.
I won't need all that, Your Honor. Washington County wants to make this about weighing the credibility of witnesses or about the adoption of Sam Kuhn's valuation in a single case, the Meyer case, creating new case law when there was no clear intent in the decision, the Meyer decision, to do so. There's no intention by the court to create anything other than the idea that the mere presence of the lease fee data does not render the appraisal itself unreliable. There were some questions asked at trial by Ms. Gorey of my appraiser, Ms. Costello, regarding her selection of comparables. And I would just point out that Ms. Costello's sale number 4, which is on that exchange between Ms. Gorey and Ms. Costello, is on page 37 of the transcript, was in Hilliard here in the greater Columbus area and was leased fee. So one of the sales that Ms. Costello used was leased fee. So there was no deliberate attempt, regardless of what the exchange went at trial, to exclude all leased fee properties. I would also mention that my earlier comment that the market participants that were questioned by Ms. Blosser's staff within the Marietta market that she did admit she relied heavily on during my cross-examination was a point of focus in the decision, the Rite Aid decision. There's a footnote in the Rite Aid decision that says Ms. Blosser talked to market participants, real estate professionals in the area to confirm the market. Well, she also did that apparently in the Lowe's case. However, on cross-examination, that folded. So I would just point out that at the end of the day, the real inconsistency here is that clearly the Meyer decision was something that was in the BTA's mind when they were authoring the Rite Aid decision, but they found no trouble with Mr. Hatcher's statement that he used exclusively leased fee sales. When it came to the Lowe's analysis, I think it's clear that someone else at the BTA authored that opinion, but that is not an excuse for what happened to my client. And that in that instance, the same testimony from the appraisal expert, even though there was a leased fee sale included as sale number 4, was the sole basis, I think, for rejecting Ms. Costello's appraisal analysis. And so I think that the case has to be remanded with instructions to the BTA to apply the same standard that was applied in Rite Aid. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbs. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.